We're going to go through a little bit of the types and shadows again, because if you get the types and shadows, he goes first the physical, then the spiritual. So everything you see in the Old Covenant were pictures of things that would become a reality in the spiritual world through Jesus. So even when he made the Ark of the Covenant, he told Moses, he said, make this as a pattern exactly the way you saw it in heaven. Does that make sense? That's why Hebrews 10, Barb and I talk about this all the time. Boy, I just think if there's anything that's been that misinterpreted and confused for so long is the faith thing. What is faith? Faith is just the reality that all those promises are already now yes and amen in Christ, even though you can't see it because it's in heaven. Does that make sense? And everybody's bastardizing that, in my opinion. If you had faith, it would happen now. What he's trying to say is, Hebrews 10 said, hey, the law were all these types and shadows of good things that are in our future, good things to come, but now the time has come. Jesus, all those things that were predicting Jesus, he fulfilled. Does that make sense to you guys? So we're going to go through some Old Covenant types and shadows, and here's the thing, guys. You can experience his overwhelming mercy and grace right now. And grace, you guys know, is unmerited supernatural favor of God, right? So if you're a co-equal with Jesus, how much favor do you have? All of it. Amen. Whether you feel like it or not. Does that make sense? And so I'm not a faith guy where I go, hey, just ignore your feelings. No, your feelings are telling you you don't believe something that's already true about yourself. So when you start really looking at Jesus, go, wait a minute, he's already won every battle. I don't need to fight this battle. Follow me? Hey, listen, I'm already prosperous. I can't sow into the man of God. Reg just told me he's going to start throwing checks at my feet. That's what he told me. You told me that last Sunday, didn't you, Reg? No, he actually said something about cold in some other place. Yeah, cold. See, here's the thing. You're already prosperous. You can't sow into another man to be prosperous. Does that make sense? All these weird things that we get taught. So, because guess what? You'll be sowing, and you don't see anything because you don't realize in your heart that you're already prosperous. Now, when you already go, wait a minute, I'm the richest man on the planet because Christ is the richest man on the planet, and I'm a co-equal with him, now I can give. So I'm not giving to get rich, I'm giving to because I am. Does that make sense to you guys? So, and if you truly understand how much he loves you, you just naturally give. That's what you do, because love gives. God so loved the world, he sowed into a man. No, he gave. Does that make sense? So I get it. They're so close. It's that little bit of mixture that screws everything up, though. So they're so close, because I grew up my whole life, but you can't outgive God, which is accurate. Because the minute you give out of that spirit, like, man, he prospers me. That seed's getting planted in your heart. And then he goes, you know what? I just make it even more abound. You guys get that? So let's go experience his overwhelming mercy and grace. Does that make sense to you guys? All right, so we're going to go through some Old Covenant shadows real quick. Genesis 3:24. How many of you guys, you grew up with this idea that the minute Adam and Eve sinned, God was mad at them and punished them and kicked them out of the garden? Nothing's further from the truth. He went pursuing man. He was hunting man down. He says, Adam, where are you? And Adam was the one that was afraid of God, that hid. But God was after him. God didn't separate himself from him. Did he? No. So let's read Genesis 3. So he drove out the man. This is where they get this. But it says, you know what? Man has become like us. He knows good and evil. And you know what? We need to make sure he doesn't eat from the tree of tree of life right now, because he will be in a perpetual state of feeling guilty about himself. So I need to find a way to bring back man to myself. So here's what I need to do. I need to take him out of the garden so he doesn't eat of the tree in guilt. But I'm going to preserve a way, is what it said. And the way is what? Jesus. The whole thing's about Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus 3:24, he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. You guys know what cherubims are? These little angel things. And a flaming sword, which turned every way. And it actually, you know, it doesn't even say flaming. If you go look it up in Hebrew, it says this word that turns in upon itself. So it's kind of like this, they picture it like a campfire where it's just this thing. And it says, so why did he do that? Why did he place cherubims and a flaming sword? Why did he do that? The next sentence tells us. To keep the way to Jesus, to keep the way to the tree of life. Because I got to take man out. I need to make him sinless, and then he can eat from me because he'll live in eternity in that state. It's all good news. Does that make sense? And so how many of you guys know this? If we go read the back of the book and all through it in the New Covenant, the cherubim, well, I'm giving this away. Let's keep going. Here's another picture. Exodus 25:21. This is what he's telling Moses. And he's saying, listen, you saw what's true about mankind in heaven. Now go make the earthly tabernacle as a pattern, just like you saw in heaven. Okay? So it says, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee. So where's God going to meet with him? Same place, Genesis 3:24. I'm going to meet with you at the mercy seat between the cherubim, and I'm going to meet with you with his flaming sword. If we go to the book of Revelation, it says, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Who is the word? Jesus. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Come by the blood. Jesus puts the blood on the mercy seat, and that message is how you overcome the enemy. It's all a picture of Jesus. You guys understand that? That flaming sword, I've heard all kinds of things about that, but he tells us, well, who he is. He goes, Revelation 1 says, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you all the types and symbols of what Jesus was about. And he says, that flaming sword, how you're going to overcome everything and enter into the new covenant is by my blood. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb between the mercy seat, between the cherubim. He put the blood on the mercy seat. And Jesus is that flaming sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword that divides asunder to soul and spirit, bone and marrow. Because I've given you everything so you can have me. Isn't that beautiful? All right. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with you. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony. He goes, I'm going to meet with man at the mercy seat. It's no longer the judgment seat. Isn't that good news? You don't have to worry about heaven. This is how I was taught. Someday you're going to go, and every idle word you're going to have to give account. And some days I have more idle words than others. You probably do too, right? All the Cubs fans had lots of idle words last night. And so now we have this picture that when we get there, we're like, oh God, I have to account for that, right? Or you had a bad thought. Oh no. All that's gone, guys. That's not what every idle word was, I deny Christ. I deny Christ. That's the only idle word. That's the only unforgivable sin. Does that make sense? All right. So it's at the mercy seat that I'm going to meet with man, because I'm going to preserve a way back to the tree, and it's going to be me, actually. Jesus is the way back. And you guys all know that, right? So you guys have seen pictures of the mercy seat. So listen, I'm going to meet with you between the cherubim. Those are the little angel dudes, the cherubim. Does that make sense? And guess what? I'm going to be, my presence, that flaming sword, the word of God, the message of Jesus is going to be right there as well between the cherubim. So here's how you're going to come back to me. I'm going to place my blood in this temple in heaven. The earth was a picture of it. So when you sinned, you brought a lamb to the priest. And then once a year in Israel, they took that blood of the lamb and they placed it in the earthly tabernacle on the mercy seat. And seven times in front of the mercy seat for you, so you can stand in perfection. Seven is always perfection. His blood was once to cover all sin. You only had to do that once. He goes, now I spread it seven times so man is perfect for the rest of their life. And I'm going to overcome him by knowing that that blood has perfected me forever through that message of Jesus Christ. You guys get it? His message is the word of God, that flaming sword, and the blood is what brought you back to him. You guys, that make sense? Now, so those are types and shadows. Now let's go to the new covenant. So let's go see the real fulfillment of this. Isn't that cool? And when you start reading the Bible, it starts to all come together. Doug Bishop, we were texting back and forth, and I was so excited for me because he's picking up all these types and shadows. I go, yes, that's exactly what that is. That's so awesome. And so now the Bible actually starts to make sense. And if it doesn't, here's all you need to know. You are perfect and sinless forever, highly favored in his family. If you don't know anything else, that's what you need to know. Every other message has to be around that. So does that make sense to you guys? So if you get confused, sometimes I feel like this is, I go, God, I've learned so many crazy things all my life. But I appreciate it now because now I can split the nonsense real fast. Like either it's about Jesus or it's not. So if it's soon as back, it's something you need to do, belief levels and all this kind of stuff, no way. If it's not a covenant of assurance, then how can you be sure? If it's based on my belief versus unbelief and all this nonsense, I go, then I'm not sure because now I'm involved again. Isn't that true? The only way you're going to get sure is if somebody keeps telling you it's sure. Then that seed gets planted in your heart. You go, wait a minute, it's just sure. My covenant can't be broken because I'm not in it. Jesus was the representative man with the Father, so we're perfect for the rest of our life. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? All right, so let's go look at the new covenant fulfillment of all this now. All right, Mark 16:1. And when the Sabbath was passed, who's the Sabbath, by the way? Jesus. When the rest was passed, right? When the rest, the Sabbath, he is the Sabbath. He's our Jubilee. He's everything. So Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week. This is so packed. I wrote some notes on this. So I just got to, I'm not going to go through it all because we'll be here forever. Because the types and shadows are manifold. It's so amazing. But early in the morning, on the third day, right? If you go to Revelations 22, 16 through 17, it says, Jesus is the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star was early in the morning. He is the bright and morning star, right? And if you keep reading that, Revelations 22, 16 and 17, it says, and the Spirit, not the law, and the Spirit and the bride, who's the bride? You and I. What are we supposed to tell the world to do? Come. That's what it says. And the Spirit, early in the morning, he is the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride are supposed to tell the world, come. You're going to be surprised at what you find at the mercy seat. That's where you're going to meet God. Follow me? So, that's the... I could keep going. Stuff was happening to me on the plane. Yeah, Dave was like, I'm writing, like scribbling. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week. Then he came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Have we seen the rising of the sun anywhere before? And he gives us earthly examples. The sun rises on which side? The east. How do you enter into the tabernacle? The east. Amen? So I'm just going to give you one more. Malachi 4:2. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise. And it's S-U-N there. The Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing between the wings. Hallelujah, man. It's all types and shadows of Jesus. Isn't that cool? See, he's fulfilling all those old types of shadows. And then the book of Revelation just confirms it. It's John's book, the Olivet Discourse. He says, hey, all these things are real. All these things that the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are saying, I'm going to tell you too. The unveiling of Jesus Christ is what it says. So he is the Son of Righteousness that comes with healing between the wings. Isn't that cool? To me, it's cool. Sorry, I like this kind of stuff. So they came. Instead of death, what did they find? He's risen. All right, let's keep going. And they said amongst themselves, who shall roll away this stone from the door of death? Right? In the book of Revelation, again, they're saying there's weeping. Why? Because nobody can unlock the seal. The law of sin and death had sealed every man. Amen? And then all the elders round about said, don't weep anymore. We found a man. As if he's a lamb had done it. So, here's what it says. They said among themselves, who shall roll away this stone from the door? That's what Paul said in Romans 7, 2. Who shall save me from this wretched man that I am? Does that make sense? And what's the stone? Who's going to roll away the stone? Jesus himself. What's the stone? The law. It's the veil where you can't go to the mercy seat. Right? In the old covenant, the type and shadow, there was a veil, and you could only get through it with the blood of the lamb, and they had to bring a blood every year because it was just a covering of sin, not the complete removal of it. Follow me? But Jesus' blood rolled away the stone forever, and he sat down at the mercy seat. That's where you're going to meet him. You're going to meet him because you can boldly come to the throne now with Jesus' blood and this message of his testimony. Right? The word of the testimony. Hey, guess what? Everything's been conquered. You can boldly go to the throne right now. Amen? You don't have to be, hey, Jesus rolled away the stone, this old law that was keeping you from the veil. That veil was keeping you from him, I'm sorry. Because guess what the law does? It only shows you why you're not worthy to go in. Here's why you can't go in. How many of you guys get excited? The stone's been rolled away. Hallelujah. See, there's so much going on in these little verses. It's beautiful to me. So who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Hallelujah. That's what it's saying. Hey, come look. The Spirit and the bride say, come look. The stone's been rolled away. And for 2,000 years, the church has gone, no, there's still stones. It's all by grace, but now be good and qualify for it. That's just craziness. You can't. Amen? The stone will always show you there's one more thing that you've missed. You guys get this? I'm going to read it out of, let's read this same thing out of John's discourse now. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. What did she see? She saw the mercy seat. Once the veil, the law, the stones have been rolled away, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet. Where did we just see that? She saw the real mercy seat. Those were types and shadows in the old covenant. The new ones, when they came in and saw Jesus' blood on the stones, the law was rolled away. Now everybody can come boldly to the throne. That's where he's going to meet you. That's what he said. I've preserved a way back to Jesus. It's through the mercy seat. Amen? You guys see all these types and shadows? It's not just a story. So, all right. And see the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had him. The stone, a picture of the law, was rolled away so we can all freely approach the Father. You guys understand that? So the old covenant tabernacle had a veil. The middle wall of partition is what it says. Is only the high priest could go in, and he could only go in with blood, because you know what the penalty for sin? There's no cleansing of sin unless what is shed? Blood. There has to be a death. And so was God mad at man? No. He goes, I'm going to preserve a way, so I'm going to do something crazy that they wouldn't expect. I'm going to go die for them. I'm going to send my son. He's going to be the death for all mankind, so now all of you can come boldly to the throne. I'm not mad at man. I love man. I'm trying to preserve a way so I can have fellowship with you again. So the old tabernacle where the Levites, they could only go in once a year with blood, right? And how many of you guys are Gentiles? Are you? All of us, unless you were Jewish. Follow me? We were outside the temple, that middle wall of partition. Nobody could go in except the high priest with blood. Now, at the same time, that tabernacle existed. David, he said that he has the heart of the Father. He has the heart of God, a man after my own heart. And David said this, God, I know you don't want sacrifice. That's not who you are. You don't want to punish me. I know you don't. So David established the tabernacle of David, and you know all that was there? No veil, just the mercy seat. And all there was praise and worship. Why? Because there's no longer death. He goes, I've created a new and living way where you don't have to slay a lamb anymore, because one lamb was good enough for all of mankind forever. Now the middle wall, the stone's been rolled away, the veil's been rolled away. All of you just come to me. Isn't that good news? I hope that's good news. And that's the gospel. That's what it is. Now we mess it up, but that's really the gospel. Hey, you know what? You've been reconciled to Jesus, is what we saw at communion. There's nothing wrong with you. You're perfect. You're holy. You're righteous. You're prosperous. You're rich. Let other people battle the devil. You just stand, know that you're below his feet. And the only tool the enemy had was what? That stuff that was against you, that ordinance that were against you, I nailed them to the cross. The only thing he had was the law to accuse you, to make you feel guilty. Does that make sense? He doesn't have any power in and of itself. And I see these people running around trying to cast this. And guess what? He manifests, because we're so spiritually and wonderfully made. I go, he doesn't manifest in my life. He just doesn't. I get around you and he manifests. Around me, he doesn't. Because that's not what I'm focused on. My heart is, man, hallelujah, man. We're kings of this deal. He's made us kings. He's made us kings and priests. There's nothing for you to make. So he saw two angels in white sitting. He saw the perfect mercy seat. The law was types and shadows. The new covenant is the real thing. Amen? Now, we know there's actually another one, because he said, you know what? I need to go to heaven, and I need to do... Moses, you saw the pattern on earth, but guess what? That's what's at heaven now. Spiritually, all this is true about you. I placed the blood on the mercy seat once. Now come meet with me. Come and join me. Come get everything that's free for you as a son in the kingdom. Does that help you guys? All right. I feel like I'm almost done. Okay? All right. No, actually, I'm not even interested in the games today, so... I don't even know who's playing. I just know Cubs fans need to pray hard. So, all right. Now, God said from the beginning, he says, you know what, I'm going to tell you the end from the beginning. So everything you see in Genesis, he tells us what's all true now. All these things were going to happen. Now we just go, hey, come, it's happened. Does that make sense to you guys? So God says, I'm going to preserve a way to the tree of life. What was it going to be? Jesus. My blood, that's going to be shed on the mercy seat, and my word, my message of Jesus, is how you can boldly come. So Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Remember he said in Genesis 3, the minute man sinned, said, you know what, there's this flaming sword above the mercy seat, which is a type and shadow. It says it's not literally a flaming sword. It's a type of what's going to happen. And then we start reading that in Hebrews, it's the crossovers between the old covenant and the new covenant. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus is the message of Jesus is the sword that keeps the way to life. So the Son has set you free. The law, here's what it says. He has set us free from the law of sin and death. The stone is rolled away. You're set free from that. Follow me? Well, how do I know that? I got to share the message with you. And that message is so powerful. It says it's quick. It's life-giving is what it says. It's powerful and it's sharper than two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that what we've been teaching all this time? is when you start getting the truth in your heart, you're going to manifest the kingdom. It says the kingdom of God is like this. It's as if a farmer should sow the message, the word, and it gets planted in your heart. And if you don't have a stony heart, meaning you can't receive it from the enemy, I mean the law, because you're so law-based that you can't even see when good comes. Follow me? Good came. It came 2,000 years ago, but you can't see it because you're still trying to earn it based on the law. Follow me? You need to know the stone's been rolled away, and you can go straight to the mercy seat. Every one of you, go boldly to the throne is what it says. So, and that dividing asunder literally means this. If you go read it in the Greek, it says it distributes evenly to every part of you that needs it. Your soul, your spirit, your bones, your marrow. It brings life to every part of you, not just your spirit, because that's perfected already. But now your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. When you start believing the right thing, it heals that. And that's, guess what? When you start believing that you're already righteous, you're no longer guilty and condemned, which causes most sickness, by the way, is because I feel so guilty about myself. Your body is not designed to do that. Your body's designed to go, man, I'm perfectly loved and righteous. And then it says that message will even do heal bone and marrow. It'll distribute asunder, like a sundry store. What's a sundry store? You guys know what a sundry store is? It's got something for everything. It's MacGyver's store. Is that something? It's got everything. Like you ladies in your purse. It's got everything you need. So he goes, my message of Jesus, we know not how. We can go to sleep is what it says. But when you start realizing I'm already righteous, that's the fundamental message of Christianity. He's backed up sin all the way to the first Adam. Hallelujah. Most people are confusing the works of the flesh, and they start battling spiritually over that. It says the works of the flesh are obvious or evident. It's anger, strife, murder. And this is what I was talking about with that kid skit. See, most Christianity, they're trying to heal the symptom. Does that make sense? Because one of the examples was alcohol or suicide, things like that, right? So what do? We're going to have suicide prevention. You know what you're going to get? More suicide. It's obvious what's going on. The works of the flesh are evident. Anger, strife, murder. What's suicide? It's murdering yourself. Why? The works of the flesh. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The works. He came to destroy it. When Adam and Eve had everything, what did the enemy come? Did he come with supernatural power? That's why I always tell everybody, if he had any control to take you out right now, he would do it because he hates you. He has no power. He's got to get you to believe the wrong message. So did they already have everything? Were they already created in man's, in God's image? Yes. What did he say? You need to do something in order to be like me. Hey, go do this. Go eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Does that make sense? Those are the works. I have to work to be pleasing to God. I have to do something to pleasing to God. And that will become obvious. So when we see these kids abusing alcohol, wanting to slit their wrists, all these things, we don't go, stop doing that. It's supposed to tell you, this is what's going on. They feel guilty and dirty. We need to share the gospel with them because the gospel is love, joy, peace, righteousness. The fruits of the Spirit are also obvious. Those are symptoms, and we're trying to go, don't do that. And we're never, that's why I was telling you, like my friend Lance Wallnau, he said, listen, you know, in Dallas, it's the most churched, yet they have the highest incidence of all those things. So what do? Let's have a group to go fix this. And what are we going to tell them? Beware of that. No, you're going to get more of that. What you need to do is the works of the flesh, meaning I have to do something to pleasing to God. The guy messed up abusing alcohol. You know what he needs to hear? You're perfect because you went through it, didn't you, bud? And you're healed completely, aren't you? Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. Me telling you not to do it, how much strength did it give you to never do it? None. You know what it is? Man, if I even think about it, now I'm dirty again. It actually stirs it up. You guys get what I'm trying to say? The message is powerful. Hey, do we want to keep kids from committing suicide? Yes, but it's telling us the works of the flesh are obvious. Guys, when you see this, you're going to know what's going on. They don't know grace. They don't know how much God loves them. When we tell them, you're perfect, man, even if you ever mess up, you're perfect in Jesus' name. Wow, okay. The Father loves me unconditionally. Amen? And when they get that, the fruit of the Spirit versus working to go do it, it'll produce exactly what you're trying to produce. Does that make sense to you guys? That's what we need to do. We need to do a skit on that. Follow me? Because the world's not doing this. It's the enemy accusing them is what's doing it. Follow me? Okay. I know it's sometimes, but it's so obvious to me, but I get it, because people have been taught a certain way in church their whole life. And it's such a stronghold, man. It's such a stony heart, right? It's such a stronghold, man. He goes, no, the way to get out of it is to tell them they're already perfect even while they're in it. That's what's going to get them out of it. It's the we have the message of reconciliation, isn't it? Not the message of stop doing that. It's obvious. Does this help you? So I'm trying to get you out of stuff. You know what it is? I'll never tell you to stop doing it. In fact, if you tell me what you do, if anybody's ever counseled me, what do I tell you? It's okay, I do it too. And I don't. But I'm trying to get the point across. It says, if I'm going to be established by that, if I'm guilty of one, how many am I guilty of? All of it. So I don't care what you've done. I've done it too. Because I'm guilty of all of it if I'm guilty of one. But now that stone's been rolled away. Hallelujah, man. There's a new covenant. There's a new man. That old man's cut off. He's been circumcised. You guys get it? Okay. So if we know that, we're already perfect, and God's, see, the whole time, guys, you thought God was mad at you, and so you're trying to fix yourself and clean yourself up and somehow be good enough so you can take communion. The works of the flesh will be obvious. Anger, strife, murder, all these things. Follow me? But once you know that he's not angry with you, that he's shed his own blood because he loves you so much, he goes, man, I'm going to preserve a way so you can come back to me. I'm going to die for you is how much I love you. So very back in Genesis 3, he tells us, here's my plan, I'm going to restore mankind. By my blood, not the blood of a lamb, that was just a picture, I'm the real lamb. And now we have the message of reconciliation, we're that flaming sword that we share, because that message is quick, it brings life, it's powerful, and it gives to every part of the body. Guys, I'm telling you, we believe in the gift of healing, for sure. If you need something, these guys, Kurt and Katie from Montana, they operate in all the time, don't you? All the time. In fact, I don't even remember the message. I met you, I think. And you were suicidal, and you were having seizures, etc. Right? And I went in there and I said, I prayed and fast today, Katie, you're in good shape. No, it's nonsense. What did we do? We prayed for you and never had a seizure ever again, did you? Hallelujah. Amen? That's how many years? 5 years. Seizure-free, sickness-free, perfect health. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? Why? Because that message is quick, it's powerful, and it gives to every part of your body that needs it. Your soul, your spirit, everything. Your body will start to heal when you're not under the law. Because the law will make you weak and beggarly is what it says. So that's why in the scripture it says, you know what? Beloved, above all else, I want you to be prosperous and be in health. Because the opposite comes from the law, weak and beggarly. Does that help? Now, once we get that, now what are we supposed to do? He told us, this is where you're going to come meet me. You're going to experience everything I am. You're going to experience supernatural health. You're going to experience supernatural provision. You're going to experience me. Where? Between the two angels. Right? Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. He goes, I'm going to meet with you between the cherubim. It's really a picture of Jesus, all of it. But that's where you're going to meet me. And what are you going to find there? Mercy. You know what mercy is? You don't get what's coming to you. There's no karma in the new covenant. Hallelujah, man. Does that make sense? The world knows karma. Religion knows karma. Every religion, including Christianity, is you do something, right? And I'm going to beat you with a stick. Then they're going to give you the carrot. If you're good, over here, though, dangle this little carrot above you, right? See, that's the tree of the knowledge of good. I'm going to give you this carrot if you're good. Chad, if you're good, man, bless you. He's going to dangle his little carrot. See, that same tree, whether it's good or bad, will kill you. That's what it says. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you're evil, I'm going to eat you with a stick. You eat from that, it'll kill you, is what it says. Because you'd never be good enough. You always wonder if you were good enough. Oh, man, the reason I'm not being blessed, the reason this is happening in my life, because I must have done this. Didn't most of you grow up that way? Because that's not what you're going to find when you come meet me. The whole time you thought I was mad at you, all I've wanted to do is come. Come experience me. I want you to come. Yeah, but I'm struggling with all this nonsense yet today. No, come, because I see you perfect already. I see you in me. When I see you, guess what he sees? The perfect bride, the spotless bride, the new creation. That old man's gone. Amen? So now what do we need to do? We need to put on that new man every day. We walk in because we need it the most when we're messing up the most. And that's the time we feel least blessed, isn't it? And that's when he said, come boldly. Hey, if I'm experiencing all this nonsense, what am I supposed to do? Not go to confession. You're supposed to come boldly to the throne. Does that make sense? Because he's not going to go, what'd you do wrong? He goes, look at my son. He did everything perfect. Now eat from that tree. Follow me? So come boldly to the crown of grace. You're going to be surprised. He's not going to slap you with a stick. He's going to go, I just wanted to bless you the whole time. You'll never get what you deserve. Amen. You get what Jesus deserved, and that's everything. So you're going to experience mercy there, not judgment. Hallelujah. And guess what else you're going to find? His supernatural, unconditional, I'll make all grace abound to you. When? Whenever. Whenever you need it. Just come all day, every day. Does that make sense to you guys? That is the new covenant. The law is gone. It's been rolled away. It's all pictures of that. Now come boldly to the throne. That he said all the way back in Genesis, he said, I'm going to meet with you by the blood and my flaming sword, which is the message of Christ. And when you hear the message of Christ, it brings life, health, prosperity, everything to you effortlessly. Hallelujah. All right, so let's finish this up. The old covenant, the stones have been rolled away. That's good news, isn't it? So stop messing around with it. It'll mess you up. All that picture, don't even come boldly to the throne of not judgment, of grace. And you thought he was judging you, but all he wants to do is freely give you mercy and his grace, his undeserved supernatural favor of God. Hallelujah? Is that it? All right, get to your feet. That's a record. Thank you, Jesus. Now Chris Abadie will start timing me. I do go long. He said, hey, between you when you get up is this many minutes. I go, I promise I'll shorten that. Because I need to, amen? But I just get excited about the gospel, hallelujah? Because it's such good news. Now, we were talking with a couple ladies last week. And you can disagree on this, but you know, they go, how come you don't do altar calls? I go, because I've seen people do altar calls my whole life and they weren't saved one iota. There's got to be fruit. The gospel itself is what does it for you. So for me to have somebody come up here and go, now repeat after me. And they walk away and they don't even know their sins have been forgiven yet. And I know where they're getting it. It's Romans 10:9. It says, but you know what? If you believe he died for you and rose again. They don't know what that means though. It says, I rose again when you were completely justified. So when they really get this message that you're perfect forever. You could never do anything wrong to destroy my love for you, my favor for you, my blessing from you. Never. You could never. Because it's as if you've never made a mistake your whole life. That's a different message, isn't it? Now you're not born from the stones. You're born from that spirit. Love starts to govern you. See, it's not when we tell the stones rolled away, people get nervous. They go, now they're just going to run out and sin. I go, no, it's obvious they're already sinning. The works of the flesh will be evident. They're still trying to be pleasing to God. And they feel so bad about themselves, they go do stupid stuff. Welcome to the club, is what I tell them. I've done it. This morning, probably. Amen? What a good God. What a gracious God that he never changes despite me. He'll always bless me, always favor me, always heal me, always prosper me, always. As if I've done anything wrong, because all the waters of judgment were backed up all the way to the first man. Hallelujah. Does that make sense to you guys now? And when they can really, because Barbara and I were talking about this, is when they get that message, they're born out of a new spirit. Hallelujah, man, righteous. The battle's over. Amen? Guess what? That starts to get in their heart. Because I came home one day and she was just weeping in the middle of the floor. Nobody told her, now repeat after me. But she was saved. Hallelujah. So, people, well, how are they going to get saved when they hear this message? Because the message itself is the seed. It says the power's in the seed, that message, that they start to feel good about themselves. They get healed supernaturally. Amen? Because if they're not stressed, if they're not condemned, if they're not guilty, their body starts to heal. So don't beat yourself up if your body's not there. All I'm trying to show you, he's good. He's good. And he loves you perfectly. He's not judging you. He's not giving you sickness to teach you a lesson. None of that nonsense. Amen? You don't need to do spiritual gymnastics to get healed. Just go, thank you, Father. I'm already healed because you love me that much. You've given me Jesus' life for free. Amen? Now when you're born out of that spirit, you enter in the child of God. That message starts to prosper, starts to grow in your life, and you start to get sozoed. You guys get that? So, now if they understood and they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, they shall be sozoed, is what Romans 10:9 says. But what do they need to believe? That they're completely sinless. In the middle of their sin. That's the gospel.
what's amazing about Jesus, he doesn't even see it. That's what he doesn't see. He rose when you were completely justified. He said, you never made a mistake. Now you can get born out. That's when they become born again and they start to experience the fruit. Does that help you guys? So, hey, let's come boldly to the throne right now. Amen? That's bold. We don't have to feel bold. I'm not trying to... Because he said, you know, if you just come to me, you're going to find mercy and grace. Amen? That's why I was joking. I go, I didn't pray and fast, but Katie, you're in good shape today, man, because I'm in charge. I just know him, and he loves us perfectly. And he'll heal you, prosper you, protect you right now. Hallelujah? Does that help you guys? So I don't know what you need, but you can come boldly to the throne today. You got some room? Yeah, okay. Why don't you close it up then too, right? Can you turn on? Yeah. Yeah. I love you, pal. You're really starting to get these types of shadows and sending me all this stuff. Hallelujah. He's a farm kid. He doesn't know what
to do. Good morning.
He doesn't know what to do without baling wire. Hello?
All right. It's really loud. Good morning. Yes. Every time I read a scripture now, I see the type and shadow that I didn't see even sitting through Bible school for 3 years. So thank you, Mike. So I woke up at, yes, it's wonderful. The text I sent Mike at the end, he said, you're really starting to get this. I said, it's taking something that I don't to be so complicated, and it's not that complicated, which actually made sense to me because I didn't think the Bible should be so dang complicated that you spend 60, 80, 100 years of your life walking around trying to decipher something and wonder one day to the next, did I get it or did I not get it, or am I on track or am I not on track? That's so frustrating. Anyway, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, had to go to the bathroom. Okay, I'll run to the bathroom, I'll go right back to bed. Lay back down, my brain comes on. Anybody ever happened to you? 3 in the morning, I don't want to be awake. I want to be sleeping peacefully, but my brain's running 100 miles an hour. And I lay there for probably 30 minutes, and that usually wakes Jennifer up. So I said, okay, I'll go sit on the couch. Sometimes watch stupid ESPN replays. But I didn't. They're not stupid. At 3 in the morning, they're not that exciting, though. Anyway, so I decided to get my affirmation notebook out because I would do that about 6 o'clock in the morning anyway. Well, I'll just write my affirmations at 3:30. So I'm writing and I'm writing and I'm writing. And my brain had come on because I started having all these thoughts of all this stuff going on. Okay, I got to take care of this paperwork. Oh, I forgot to text this client. Oh, I got to send an email. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to pay that bill. Let's see. Now, what else did I forget to do? Oh, wait a minute. I got Maggie's. It's exciting when your daughter goes to college because all of a sudden you have tuition and monthly expenses that you didn't have before. It's exciting running two households at the same time. So, oh, I got paid Maggie's tuition. Oh, and pretty soon I start getting cloudy, and it's 3:45, and again, I wanted to be peaceful and sleeping, and I'm getting all kind of nervous, and so I'm writing my affirmations, and I'm writing, and at one point I finally, the Holy Spirit, I got in the zone, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me, and he said, Doug, why are you trying to be the provider? You're not the provider. Why are you trying to do my job? Let me do my job. You do your job. Your job is to be the child. My job is to be the provider. Stop doing my job. I'm the provider. So then literally the Holy Spirit in my head. And again, I'm the provider. I'm the provider. I'm the provider. I'm the provider. Over and over. I finally finish writing my affirmations. I go to bed. I sleep for a little while. I get up. First thing out of bed. Now, whatever, it's 6:30. The Holy Spirit said, Doug, just remember, who's the provider, Doug? I'm the provider. You're not the provider, Doug. Middle of the day, Friday. I probably 100 times in the last 3 days, the Holy Spirit has reminded me, you're trying to do my job. Stop trying to do my job. Doug, why don't you just let me pay Maggie's tuition? Why don't you let me pay off your car? Why don't you let me pay the house payment every month? Why? Who said that was your job, Doug? That's my job. Over and over and over. He's been telling me again and again and again, quit doing my job. Can't you just trust me to let me be the provider? So this morning, I'm in the bathroom, shaving, getting dressed to come to church. And I'm sort of pondering these things again. And the Lord reminds me again. He says, because I start doing mental gymnastics. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. Do it. No, Doug, you're doing it again. I said, I'm the provider. You're the child. And I said, I'm not the child. I'm an adult. I'm 46 years old. I'm not the child. And God said, and that's your problem. See, in our society, we have been programmed to believe we have to become self-sufficient, especially the man. You got to get to a place where you don't call and ask your parents to help you with money anymore. You got to be in charge. You got to take authority over your household. You have to provide for your wife and kids. Or if you're single, our society has also driven this situation where women are now standing in a position where they have to take more responsibility than they were probably ever had to because they're single for whatever reason, and they're trying to provide for themselves as well. And God said, and that's your problem, Doug. You're believing that belief that it's your responsibility to take control of your finances and run your household. And it screwed up the whole body of Christ because they forgot to remember. See, I'm not saying you need to go calling and asking your dad for money. I haven't called and asked my dad for money in 20 years or whatever, right? You got to get to a place where you can stand on your own. But our society's actually screwed us up and forced us to try to take responsibility. I can do it. I can take control of this situation. I can handle it. I don't need to rely on anybody else. It's all about me. It's all on me, right? The Holy Spirit totally cleared that up for me. He said, fine if you don't want to call your dad and ask him for money because you need to be relying on me because I'm the provider. And I got it right there in the bathroom this morning. Totally. Now I understand why and how we're supposed to trust the Lord for finances. It has nothing to do with what we learned as children growing up about being self-reliant and moving out on your own. Didn't mean we had to lose sight of where the real blessing is. Who's in charge of delivering all of our needs? As it says in 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the New Living Translation, more than enough to meet your needs and plenty left over to share with others. In the middle of all that writing at 4 in the morning or whatever on Friday, the Lord reminded me, he said, if you would trust me and believe me that I'm the provider for all of your needs for your household, every dollar you make, you could bless to somebody else. And I thought, now that's an enormous thought. So let's tie this all up. I don't want to wake up at 3 in the morning tomorrow morning going through this again. I'm going to stop doing this mental gymnastics. But this message we're learning from Pastor Mike is so right on. Everywhere you look in the Bible, Jesus is on that page. He's on another page. He's on the next page. He's in every story in the Old Testament. Why? Because he's the provider. He loves us so much. It's almost unfathomable how much he loves us because, again, we're sort of wired from a humanistic standpoint. But when you let yourself get in that place with the Holy Spirit, just listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you. And like I said a couple, 3 weeks ago when I was up here, he loves you so much. You're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You are a child of the Most High God. He is happy with you. He is excited about you. He is proud of you. He loves you so much. He loves you unconditionally. There's nothing you can do in your own effort trying to provide for yourself. There's nothing you could do that would make him love you more. There's nothing he could do that would make you love him less. He has a picture of you on his refrigerator. He's got another one of you in his wallet. He's carrying it around. He can't wait to tell people about you, about me, about us, how excited he is about us. All right. Father, I just speak right now, blessing over every man and woman standing in the room and every man and woman watching on TV. We are your children and you are our provider. May you just continue to have us just continue to get greater and greater knowledge and wisdom and understanding in our heart and in our mind every single day that we do not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge you and you direct our path. You show us where every opportunity is with our health and our wealth and our relationships with our spouses and our children and our coworkers and our business associates. And in every place we step our foot, an expansion of the belief in our heart is that you are with us and you are giving us greater and greater blessing and opportunity because you just love us so much. And anybody in the room that hasn't come to realize that, I just pray right now your heart and mind be open to receive that more and more every single day. Get in the habit of remembering He's your provider. He's your provider. He's your provider. Amen.